There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Tuesday night. It is the 2nd of October, 2012. We have got a guest in the studio. We've got an exciting new radio show that's going to be premiering in just about exactly 48 hours away. You'll be hearing about that. I think you'll be very interested and excited in it. Also, we're going to start this show off with a couple of emails that have come into theabidingpresence@gmail.com, official show email address. Today, we're going to read those to you because we are going to discuss exactly what does conviction mean. How do you really measure if you are, for lack of a way to put it, a committed Christian? Are you all in? Because when you say all in, are you committed? Do you have conviction? Are you really trying? And then you hear religious hyperbole. How hard are you working at it? It really doesn't matter what phrase, what nouns or adjectives you say. They all tend to make you feel like you should be or you have to be doing something more, when in reality, more is actually less. Why do you have to work for something that's a gift? Why should you have to seek something that you already have? It's with you. Why wouldn't it be? We're spirit beings. The Holy Spirit and the spirit of us are the same. We're made in His image. I want to preface it this first email because I found it real interesting. It came in about 10 hours ago. We got it about right before 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. By the by, just give you a little official radio news. You turn your clocks back Sunday, November 4th. Just for the people that are listening outside of the U.S., you don't understand that, and you log on to the show, November 4th, 2012, the show will actually be starting for you 1 hour earlier, because in the United States, we turn our clocks back. I don't know why, but that's what happens. Here's the email. I'm starting to catch on to this conviction attitude. Last week at work, I had to run a batch of paychecks, but my laser printer wasn't working right. I tried to reset the printer more than a dozen times. I was wasting so much time opening and closing the printer, checking the drum, etc., etc. And each time the printer froze up when I tried to print the checks. I was speaking grace to the printer, and it still wasn't working. I was getting annoyed, like BJ did when the show wasn't streaming right. I finally said out loud, "Lord, you know I don't know how to fix this printer. I speak grace to this printer." I reset the printer again, and it still froze up. Without a thought, these words came out of my mouth. Lord, you're not doing your job. I wasn't mad or disrespectful. It was just a confidence that he should be doing something. And I did not, and I kid you not, the checks started printing instantly. I must admit that I was a bit shocked. I even thought, wow, should I be talking to God like that? But I knew the words had come up right out of my spirit. I am seeing how God likes our confidence in his ability. Isn't that interesting? Because we talk so much on this show about don't ask, don't think you have to earn it. It's yours. It's a gift. If someone gives you a birthday gift, would you call them and ask them permission if you can use it, wear it? No. Why? Because they gave it to you. You own it. It's yours. You need to think of grace that way. Here's the second email that's interesting, and they both kind of go hand in hand. This one is about 6 hours old to the abidingpresence@gmail.com. Almost everyone I know is abstaining from a particular food or food group due to the negative impact on their bodies. Lactose intolerance, milk, yeast imbalance, sugar, pastas, breads, gluten sensitivity breads, cereal, etc., etc. Allergies to food, seasonal changes, pollution, etc. that all abounds. Generally speaking, our food quality isn't what it used to be, and regular we are hearing of something else that we should no longer be eating. Since it's agreed upon that the most diseases come from food, or the lack thereof, as spirit beings, with our healing and redemption, what responsibility or accountability do we have to take care of our bodies with food, vitamins, exercise, etc., etc.? Thank you very much. I enjoy the show. Now, what's interesting about these is we've got Shelley Love from Love's Final Word. That's the show that starts in 48 hours. And we have Jim Huckaday, who happens to have his own radio show, which, oh my gosh, it's this show. Now, Jim, both of these emails are the same, but they're not. They're almost like one is a light switch that's on and off. I wasn't getting any cooperation out of God. So I said, where are you? Why haven't you fixed this yet? So that is literally so absolute. That's like on and off. But yet the second email talks about allergies and foods, what we should eat and how we take care of our body, because that's almost a compromise, a rationalization, almost like a spiritual dimmer switch. We're not going to lay it all into God's hands because I'm going to worry about nutrition. And I fall into this group because I think fruits and vegetables are extremely unhealthy. I mean, anything that isn't made by Frito-Lay or the Hershey or the Mars company has just got to be bad. My own personal thoughts. Jim, what do you see in these emails about what we've talked about on recent broadcasts?
Well, my comment initially would be to say that I think this is an area for so many people where they're going to have maybe a hard time with what we do say. The world has definitely created a vacuum where people really don't see things absolute anymore. So the world is definitely in a craze. People are moved upon daily to work out and work out harder and to go through all kinds of rigorous training, exercises, control with diet and food. But here's the problem. The problem is that we make these things our God because they have tangibility. And that's really the sad part about it is God is greater. God has greater tangibility. The Spirit of Christ, grace, the anointing, is far more powerful and able to keep an individual healthy and strong for their entire life. Yet we look to the things that we can see. And this really goes back to verses of scripture that we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, where Paul addresses this and says, we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And as much as you could have a good argument for the fact that good, healthy food obviously makes your body feel better from this worldly standpoint, the real truth of the matter is eternal life, God's grace, working on your behalf? Because if it is, your body is not going to be subject to this world. It's going to be subject to the heavenly world or to the spiritual world. And you're going to see change in a person's body. In a sense, it's going to be hard for me to say this, but regardless of what you eat.
Right.
And that's really an interesting thought because, you know, I put a lot of emphasis, and I want to just give this one little testimony here. I put a lot of emphasis on eating the right thing when I had a perforated bowel, and I decided I'm not going into the doctor. I'm going to let God just touch my body. I'm not about to yield to this and give into this. And yet we were trying to take all kinds of supplements galore, and of course they cost so much money, and we're eating everything that there is that's healthy. In fact, my wife was cooking me some things that was like a porridge that was just disgusting, and it's not because she made it wrong. She made it according to the recipe, but it was terrible. I mean, that was killing me more than anything else. And I put my trust in those things because I had to have them. And I remember the night that I got sick of all of this. In other words, I was tired of running the gamut of all these things that we do to try to help God out. I didn't know things like I know now, but I knew enough to say, Lord, I'm done with this. I'm done with it all. I'm not trying any longer. I'm not going to work for this. I'm not doing anything to try to prove that I can get a healing in any other way, shape, or form, but to say, you took my infirmity and you bore my sickness. That's good enough for me. Thank you and good night. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, on purpose, I went and made myself a chocolate milkshake. And that was something for someone that had the symptoms in their body that I had, where I'd lost about 35 to 40 pounds. I was about 130 pounds. And I was in terrible shape, and someone that was in that kind of condition, I shouldn't have had any milk product at all. Any type of milkshake would have been definitely wrong. It would not have been on the menu, but I did it for one purpose only, because I was putting trust in those things. Then I went to the very opposite of it, made myself a shake, a real big one. Drank the whole thing and said, my, that was so good. I mean, I just made a big to-do of it and then went to bed.
Now, Shelly of Love's Final Word, coming up on this Thursday at 8 o'clock for teenagers, a show formatted similar to Jim's show right now. Shelly, what are these two emails, what do they say to you? And what impression do they give you? What are your comments?
Well, I concur on the fact that I think it's interesting on the timing of these emails and just going further into our understanding, because when Jim's telling the story like he just told, when you hear it, sometimes your mind just wants to stop and say, well, that's not right. That's not what I've heard. That's not, you know, how I understand this all to work. But, you know, it's like we've learned that the absoluteness of God and His Word is maybe going to be the most challenging thing for you to grab hold of. And I'm really excited about this show today, because it's really going to bust loose some things, I think, in some people's thinking, including mine, in really making my mind go the direction that God intended for us to understand this. And so I'm really excited about getting into this and for the people out there that are listening to really listen how you should listen, and don't allow walls to come up in what you're getting ready to hear, because it'll really help you.
I think it's kind of ironic, because last night until about 1:30, both you, Jim, and you, Shelly, you were in my living room here at the ranch, and we were actually addressing these two emails that we started the show almost word for word.
Yep.
We were discussing it on how it really goes, because there just isn't, almost never does someone have to have something that is just so there is no choice absolute in their lives. They have no training for it. There's no schooling in it. And society just gets worse. I remember when I was a kid, at least two or three kids would flunk. Their grades weren't good enough to go to the next grade. It didn't matter if they were seniors and they had to spend another year in high school before they graduated. It didn't matter if it was kindergarten and it was going to first grade. It had nothing to do except for what kind of grades you got. Now they have what's called a continuation school. If you're too violent, if you have drug problems, or you just can't handle the curriculum, they literally have custom-made school that's only partial a few days a week. So technically and officially, you're still in school. The standards of reality seem to fade. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be any goals, anything to reach for. And I think, me personally, I think if people take a moment to think about these things in their own lives, because we get so many emails that says, how do you see grace everywhere? I can't see grace. How do you get your prayers to work? Because my prayers aren't working. I don't think it's a matter of a good or a bad person. I think it's just a matter of somebody really sitting down in a comfortable chair and taking a deep breath and saying, what am I not doing? Or what am I doing that's in the way? There was four really nice ladies. I mean, they were great ladies because they made Rice Krispie squares the right way and homemade chocolate covered peanuts.
It was really good, weren't they?
They were. I just think that they were meant for me, and I think it was extremely rude of you to take half of them.
Yeah, well, we're in this together.
Not when it comes to Rice Krispie squares and chocolate peanuts.
Yeah.
You, sir, are delusional.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was interesting because they all these four ladies, one was from Tulsa, and the other three were from
Omaha.
And I think we got an email from one of them. And it was real interesting because at first they weren't really sure what to make. But when we really started to open up a nice conversation, And we weren't worried about hurting each other's feelings. We just wanted to exchange some spiritual information.
Right.
They really started to see those little tiny things that are in the way. Because you can't blame negative energy. You can't say the devil's got me in a chokehold. You can't say, well, Jesus hates me. None of those things apply. So if you can't give credit to hell, and you can't blame heaven, then the only place that this really is in your flesh world, right, Jim?
Yeah, well, even what Shelley said, to go along with what you're saying right now, when she made the comment, if you'll remember, she made the comment saying, you know, kind of like put your seatbelt on because you're going to hear some things because we've all been taught and we've learned things a particular way and we're going to hear some things differently. Well, stop right there for a second. Well, where have we learned them? Where have we heard them?
Right.
Where have we been told this is the way that it's supposed to be? And if you answer those questions, it's people on TV, the scientists that are studying it from a real earthly point of view, trying to come up with what's the most nutritious, how does your body work, what's the best way to keep it alive. So it's man's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when we look at, you know, the ladies and us talking about things, a lot of what's difficult at first is to get past the fact that you have man's ideas about a lot of things that you don't really realize you do.
Well, it's because there is virtually so many, I mean, I don't know, 90, 97% of everybody that walks the face of the earth really has no informal, casual, or formal information. Anything that is in their lifestyle and their perspective of what reality is that has anything to do with Christ.
I agree with that.
And so I think buildings and religion use this like a giant baseball bat and beat the snot out of people and make them feel guilty for it when that's not going to do anything for you.
Well, certainly they're running the same circles.
Well, they're not going anywhere. There's no progress.
And that's what I'm saying. They're running in the same circles.
Now, on this, it says, it is Christine from Omaha. I don't remember. I know their names, but I don't remember who is who. I feel kind of bad about
that. Yeah, I do too. Okay.
Especially since the snacks were so darn good. I knew where they were in the position on the furniture. It says, it's Christine from Omaha. Thank you for being so patient and straightforward. I'm starting to get it. I couldn't see it before. I thought I saw it. Was looking at who knows what. Doesn't matter now anyways. I'm figuring this out. It is changing how I see. It is changing how I think. It is changing where I am putting my energy. It is changing how I hear things. Stuff that I thought I knew that was just plain wrong and now don't even know how I ever thought it made sense before.
Yeah, she's saying the same thing we are.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to read this. I'm still going to listen to the show, but I know I am going to hear it a whole lot differently now. Smiles. If I said or you observed anything about my condition that would help somebody else, please use it. And thanks again. Do you remember which one was Christine? Because I honestly don't know.
But that sounds to me like either the first one closest to you or the third one. The one at the end of the couch.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to misrepresent anything. These four women made a colossal mistake. I mean, it was just tragic because they gave me a 5-pound bag of Tootsie Rolls, a huge 3x9 pan of homemade chocolate covered peanuts, and also the official Rice Krispie squares, where real butter, real marshmallows melted, and all this was in front of me, and they expected to think that I was really going to talk about God.
Well, we did a good job talking about it.
I guess we did. We're just having fun. We want to make you smile because, you know, life is tough. And the reason life is tough, ladies and gentlemen, is because it's supposed to be tough. Because it isn't any place that you're really supposed to be.
Yeah, it's not home.
If it talks about, think of this for a second. If you really look at Scripture and you consider this, that things are literally biblically written that they're going to snowball and cascade out of control. It's called the Book of Revelations. There's nothing good of this world. Repent. Change your thought. Change what you say. Change what you do. All your sins are forgiven. There are so many examples from cover to cover in any type of Bible that lets you know that there is really nothing positive about what you think is real because you are gauging everything on your body and on the world. Toaster ovens, snow tires, professional wrestling, school, work, taxes, cable television bills, because none of that has anything to do with God. Because if it doesn't have anything to do with God, folks, what makes you think it would have something to do with you? We're made in His image. Jim, is there scripture you can kind of help us out here and elaborate on this?
Well, I'm looking at one here for these emails, and it's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. And in fact, I'll go to verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And so if we look at this along the lines of those testimonies that came in and the email. Think of this for a moment. It's not saying that exercise isn't good, but then I want to stop right there for just a moment and frame this around 2,000 years ago.
You got to broaden that out and explain that.
2,000 years ago. Think about that. First of all, they didn't have soccer games. They weren't running around, you know, doing all the kind of things that we're doing today. But 2,000 years ago, everybody's walking everywhere.
They carried baskets of stuff. They didn't. Most people didn't even have donkeys or mules or oxen to pull a plow.
Right.
They would take turns pulling the soil tools themselves.
Right. So put that together with a tough exterior, the lifestyle where the body is being exercised all day long.
Yeah. Just
and now
beat
you
up.
Now you understand why Paul is saying it profits a little.
Yeah.
But godliness is profitable for all things, both for this life and the life to come. And really, if you want to gauge, here's the gauge. In the old covenant, God, through, you know, Moses, gave the Levitical priesthood, and they went through all the different diets that were necessary. People today call it the Mediterranean diet. They call it all kinds of different things. No matter what they call it, and no matter how good it may be, here's my point. Look at how many people Jesus had to heal that were eating, quote-unquote, incredible food.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, Jesus had healing campaigns where it says that there were 5,000 there. Well, that was just describing the men, or there were 10,000. So now you got the wives and the kids. So you had campaigns of 15, sometimes 20,000 people, and the Bible said Jesus healed them all. Well, how come they were all needing healing if they were eating the most amazing diet and getting all this exercise? Because things of this world profit a little, but the things of the other world, heaven, your spirit, profit for all things.
The other thing I want to inject two things here. Right in the first book, the book of Genesis, it literally, if you forget about, God was, going to the lumberyard for 6 days and building things. If you get past that, and if you actually get past the apple and all that other stuff, if you really look at what he prophesied, what he literally handed down as a rule, that men would
work by the sweat of their brow.
And right now, there's another perspective to healing that's all over in Scripture that I personally think gets misrepresented, because and I want to, and what you just said was so great. It was like perfect for this. It's kind of handy that you got this show. Is that you said that there was 5,000, but then you include the women and the children and the elderly, because back then the only people that were ever counted were healthy in their prime men.
Right.
Everybody else was considered, just carry on baggage.
Right.
Well, the reason, think of this, folks, and it may help you find grace. It might help you to understand what is in your way. A lot of times when it says Jesus healed everybody, I want to pose a question and think about this. If you're living in this world, if you are disconnected from God, if you're not enjoying grace, if you don't even know that you're a spirit being, then would it not be, quote unquote, a healing to all of a sudden, like a light switch, bam, realize you're a spirit being and have a relationship with God? Would that not be the ultimate fix? Because if you take that into consideration, it helps you to realize how literally easy and profound it is that you actually completely forget the name of your town, your address, your social security number, the stack of bills on the kitchen counter. Because as long you can't take these things with you,
right,
because they have nothing to do with your heart.
Right.
They have no pertinence to the Holy Spirit.
You know, along those lines, I've seen, and I don't know if this is exactly what you're meaning by that, but I think it is. I've seen people that came to Christ that had physical ailments, and without even mentioning anything to them, like you're going to be healed as well. The moment that they gave their heart to Christ, then the next thing that I said was, well, why don't you go ahead and move that shoulder? Why don't you stand out of that wheelchair? Or why don't you go ahead and check yourself and see if that cancer is still there? And usually about 9 out of 10 of them instantly were made well.
Yeah, it's like one of the first times that I ever, I guess you would say, what, took Grace out for a test drive.
Right.
You know, I hadn't been saved very long. I hadn't gone home yet.
Correct.
You hadn't started coming to the ranch.
Right.
But you knew and you could tell because every time you like touched me, you said, you got something going on there.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, and what would I say? I'd say, well, it's gas, you know, cabbage. You know, I'd say, you know, I'd say something really ridiculous, you know, to make you laugh. And you, and I stood up in the back of the room and you said,
right.
Well, it looks like you want to come up here. And you had a line of people there. And there was this woman. And she looks at me and she says, oh, I'm glad that you're going to pray for me. And I said, I'm not going to pray for you. And she goes, you're not. And I says, no, I really don't want to do that. I did,
right,
you know, I said,
right. I remember.
No, yeah, I said, no, I really don't want to pray for anybody. I just want to mind my own business. And the people around her, they were just looking at me like, you are such a mean man. You know, because she was about 5'2", you know, and
yeah.
You can't tell by my voice, but I'm 6'2",
right.
You know, and I'm not exactly shaped like a pencil. And so, you know, it was pretty imposing. It was like a, you know, a bicycle and a dump truck parked next to each other. And I said, do you believe in God? And she says, I do. And I says, what's wrong? And she says, my neck. And I says, well, raise your arms up and say, I love Jesus. And she says, I can't. My neck hurts. And I says, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I says, if you raise your hands and you say, I love Jesus, do you really think that Jesus isn't going to make sure that you can raise your hands and make a big stink about this in the church
right.
so other people can see what's going on? And she kind of laughed and she says, well, you have a point. And she started saying, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And her hand was going up and up and down. And I said, how many times have you done that? And she says, oh, my God, the pain in my neck. I've had it for years. It's gone. She says, what did you do? And I says, I didn't do anything. I says, all you had to do was realize what you are.
Yeah, well, think of what you've done. And I've really enjoyed watching it because it's something that I've done for years, too. But you just grabbed a hold of it without even thinking twice. And that is...
I was pretty clueless.
Getting
actually.
Yeah, but think of what takes place here. What you were doing is you were, how do we want to say it? You were unlocking her, mm-hmm. getting her to let go of something that she was putting all of the focus on, which is the reason why she continued to have it. And by getting her, it's like the reason that you used that helped her to see that, well, why wouldn't God help me? Why wouldn't this work? The different things that you've said to many different people all along here for the last 14 months or so, it's very interesting because it gets people to let go. And that's something
yeah.
that I've focused on as well. And I hadn't really seen a lot of other people do it. But it just worked so well because it got her away from herself,
you know,
and allowed Grace to move.
One of the women that was at your house, you know, she was real kind. She says, I don't know if I like you. You know, she says, you come off kind of arrogant on the show.
Right.
And I said, probably so. But what I've noticed is when I try to be tender, when I try to be loving, when I try to coddle someone, when I try to display sympathy, empathy, and to hold their hand and say, you know, we can work through this, nothing happens.
No.
And I have to like touch a stranger, you know, get cooties or something. But at the same time, when I just literally am like a bull in a china shop.
Right.
And I say, why aren't you using it? You have it. It works for me. Look at me. If I can do it, oh my gosh, that means anybody can.
Right.
And what's interesting is that was exactly the way Jesus was.
Sure.
He wasn't sympathetic.
No, he didn't play into what they were dealing with.
There is no recorded things about Jesus saying, well, you know, why don't we put a blanket down, lay next to me and tell me what's wrong.
You know,
he was really obnoxious about it.
Yeah.
Because they'd say, well, I can't see. And he'd say, head for home. And they'd say, well, you can't see. And he'd say, yeah, you can. Would you just like move along and go home?
Right, right. Now, that's real interesting that BJ got that, because that passage right there is really misunderstood. People think, because it says, and immediately his eyes were opened, and then he followed the Lord. But notice, God didn't tell. Jesus didn't say, follow me.
No.
Jesus said, go home. And
yes.
I preached all along that what he was saying was, with your blind eyes, get out of here now.
You know, Jesus never said, give me a donkey and I'll fix your leprosy. Jesus never said, if you make me a sandwich, I'll fix your face. Jesus never said, if you're blind and you want to see, now that I've made you see, you are now obligated to follow me around like a puppy dog.
Right.
It was the opposite, because folks, it's about an individual relationship. The way you pray and your connection with God, and there's really no other way to put it, it's nobody's business but yours and Christ. Because that's part of the attraction, part of the seduction of an organized religion in a building, is to take your individual self and your desires and your goals to have a relationship with God and put them in a melting pot so everybody gets an equal share.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's nothing in that book that says that. It literally says that some will do this, some will do that. This might work for some, but it might not work for others. Why? Because it goes to the choices, it goes to the priorities, and it goes to where are they thoughts are. Where's their energy?
Right.
Are they thinking that they're a man? Are they thinking they're a woman? Are they thinking that they've got to help God do something because it isn't helping fast enough? Or did they just sit down, shut up, and enjoy the ride of grace, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, grace is technically, when you look at the definition, it's what God wants to do for you. It's what God can do in your life that you can't. And, you know, the best way to get out of the way is to actually let go. It's very difficult for people to let go when your mind has been trained by this world and by people, by information. This is an information age. People can pull up with your Google. I'm always amazed. And lately, you know, if I ask questions, even the family says, well, Google it. And I never think to do that because I wasn't brought up to Google anything.
Yeah.
And yet that's exactly the type of age we're living in. And it has a very adverse effect upon faith.
An example of it, I don't remember what year it was, but I was in school and calculators were invented.
Right.
They were called pocket calculators, but they were the size of a two-slice toaster.
Yeah, that's right.
And they weighed about 10 pounds and they took like a car battery to make them run. And they were pretty expensive. They were like $60, $70, which was a lot of money back then. Minimum wage was, you know, just a couple bucks. Well, you weren't allowed to have them at school. They were considered cheating. Because whenever I had a test in math, they gave you a blank piece of paper. Why? You had to show your work.
Right.
You had to show your calculations. How did you come to your answer?
Right.
From what I understand, because I've never had children, but from what I understand now is that it is virtually impossible for a kid in school not to have access to a computer for just to keep up with things.
Yeah, there's computers in all the high schools.
High school is all the way down. I mean, you've got kids in kindergarten, first grade with my daughter's in first grade and has computers in her class.
Yeah, and I mean, and see, I don't see any good in that. Because all you're learning is to push buttons, because you're not learning how to sound out a word or how to write something or how to or how to figure something on a piece of paper with a pencil, because really all they're teaching you is what is the right button to push.
Right.
Because the machines are doing it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. A religious organization is nothing but a machine. And it serves its needs first before yours. Now, what I would like you to do is try serving your needs with God. Serve your needs as a spirit being. It isn't a drastic thing. It's not smoke and mirrors. You don't have to change the way you talk. I haven't. You don't have to change the way you dress. I haven't. It isn't about that. Because if someone tells you it is, if a group thinks it is, if you're focusing on that, well, just how much can you really help God?
I want to give a scripture here that we talked about last night, and I think it's really good. It's over in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." Then, in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything virtuous or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." One of the things that he said is, if there's anything pure. And that word pure there doesn't mean like pure, be pure
oh,
and
man.
Be holy.
I'm so glad. Keep going. This is great. I forgot about this. I'm glad you brought this up. Yes.
That
yes.
word pure means that it's, for instance, 100% proof. There's nothing to taint the purity. It's not diluted. It's absolute. In other words, that's a perfect word for absolute.
Mm-hmm.
Think on things that are, you could have actually said that.
Yeah.
Think on things that are absolute.
Mm-hmm.
Think on things that have only one way of seeing it. It doesn't have 10 different definitions,
mm-hmm.
and it can't be misconstrued at all. Think on things that are pure. This is really good. Think about it. If we're being told by Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, make sure that you think about absolute things. And what's the opposite? The opposite is most likely the world's full of things that are completely diluted. They're all watered down.
See, because, well, everything of the world is watered down. You know, wasn't it last week when we talked about everybody is disappointed in people that want to be a
yeah,
part of their...
Did.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Jim, you were talking about how you're seeing more and more people that just don't seem to want to really want to put
get
any
involved.
Effort, get involved.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, guess what? The vampires are having the same problem. Nobody really wants to be a real vampire.
Right.
The witches are complaining because nobody wants to take time out to really devote to witchcraft.
Right.
And nobody really wants to be dedicated to voodoo. Nobody wants to vote. Nobody wants to volunteer. Nobody wants to do anything that involves this giant word that I'm learning called commitment.
Right.
Nobody wants to be held responsible. Unfortunately, folks, you're responsible for your own relationship with Christ.
Right. In fact, a really great way. We talked about this here at the ranch. And you, as I brought this up, then you made this statement, and it was really good. At the very end of all things, God's going to separate the sheep from the goats. In other words, the decisions are going to be made at the very end of all things, which really, if you think about it, goes to this whole point. The reason why God has to make the final decision is because it shows you most people haven't made any at all. And of course, not making a decision for Christ is staying what? It's staying with a sin consciousness, with a heart that's sinful, that's never going to have a relationship with Christ. You have to actually make that decision. It's a simple decision, but you have to make it. The fact that God has to separate the sheep from the goats shows you that most people haven't made or are not going to make decisions at all.
It's like what I think I brought this up last night. You might remember Jim was too busy eating ice cream, and he didn't, ladies and gentlemen, he's not that nice of a guy. He brought ice cream for himself.
Ben and Jerry's.
He brought Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and I looked at him. I says, "Do you have enough to share with the class?" And he says, "No." And then he just started shoveling
it
in his mouth.
But he did. It was like a pint or something. He could have shared it, but he ate it all.
No, he sat. He sat in the biggest.
No, are you kidding me? That is a one person.
That's true.
Listen, if it's a one person
ice
thing,
cream. It is. Yeah. I had one spoon. It was a one person deal. And
it wasn't
you
on
didn't
a
tell
stick.
You didn't tell them the
shared.
Other night that I came out real late. I asked you if you liked what you liked on your pizza, and I was going to get a pizza for us.
Yeah, but what did I honestly say? I said, no,
you
no,
said,
thanks.
I don't like it.
I said, no, I said, I'm not hungry.
Well, it wasn't sugar.
Yeah, I said, no, you said, do you want me to bring you a pizza? And I said, no, not really. I said, no, thanks. I said, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, but what, you think you just ask once and you're off? See, folks, this is what I have to deal with at the ranch.
No commitment.
But...
Oh,
you
thank
know.
You very much, Miss
that
Love.
That was so good. Shelly Love, ladies and gentlemen, she's got a great show coming up in this Thursday night at 8 o'clock. You got to check it out. Lots of good Christian music, all kinds of things. But see, here's the thing, is this world isn't even bad enough for Satan. It has to get worse. It's not good enough for God. It's not bad enough for Satan. It's like limbo. It's like when I get a tractor stuck in a field and the wheels are spinning.
Yeah, it's a perfect example of being disengaged, isn't it?
Yes, because right now, Satan has no influence. He has no energy. So that means that he can't get credit and he can't really manufacture anything. So really, the world isn't serving the devil or negative energy at all. And Scripture proves that this world isn't good and it doesn't serve heaven at all. So think about this. Just think about this for a second, folks. If your reality, if your town, your country, your closet full of clothes, your dishwasher, if what you think is reality and real, if it isn't good enough for God and it isn't good enough for the devil, then why is it good enough for you? Why would you not want to seek an option? Because if you think about it from this perspective, maybe that's why you have good days and bad days. Maybe that's why sometimes things are okay and sometimes things are not. Because there is not really a direction at all. You're just stuck.
Yeah.
That is why these emails that we read on this show talk about how they literally just plain give up. They don't try anymore. Look how this woman, she said she was trying for so long to fix this machine to crank out some checks at her job.
Right.
And she finally got mad and she literally stopped. What was in the way? Her good intentions to do her job, because she was thinking, I'm here alone. I've got to get this done. I don't want anybody to get mad at me. These checks are important to all kinds of people. I have to do something. Well, that seems natural, but it's only natural to the world.
Yeah, I've got a really good example here of this and the way that people make decisions.
You there know. You go.
So it's over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, and I'm just going to take a moment here to read it, but it's interesting. And what it really discusses, Paul's showing everybody that no one has an excuse, because even the invisible attributes of God are displayed in creation. What God created shows that God exists. And that it doesn't give anybody a way out from actually making a choice about God. And then it goes into, and you're going to hear it in just a second, it goes into people being perverted in their thoughts and in the things that they get involved with. And they're making decisions that turn their hearts from God.
Hold on a second, because here is a case of misrepresentation of a word. Because in the instance that you use the word perverted, it's not talking about pornography or something wrong. It's talking about perverted, meaning that things have been messed with, that it isn't settled, it isn't correct.
Okay, well, let me read this then. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, people, are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness." And it just goes from one statement to the next, describing, well, it actually describes homosexuality. It describes men and women having lost consciousness of
right.
what is actually right. So right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. And it says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions." And then later it goes on to say, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting." In other words, they were continuing to make decision after decision after decision when they knew better and knew better and knew better until literally they had minds void of judgment.
And see, this where all sins are forgiven and repent fixes
it is.
Everything. And ask and you shall receive, because that is literally your parachute, your
right.
get out of jail card.
But it shows you the clicks.
Yeah. Now, say where this is, and then and read that again, because I think this is key. I think you've come on to something real good.
Well,
here.
It's Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. So I'll read 20 to 23, and then I'm just going to skip the three paragraphs and read the statements about how God gave them up. All right, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man." Then, verse 24, I'm skipping here, it says, "Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And then verse 26, it says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions." And then it talks about women having wrong thoughts for women and men for men. And verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." I mean, on purpose, they're putting God out on purpose. It kind of sounds like what's going on in our country today. On purpose, people trying to say, "Well, we're not Christian and we don't want God." Well, this is what they're saying. It says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased minds," which means a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's how off they got.
Now, I want to give you a chance to take a breath.
I know. Well, I did that.
Drink of water, but folks, I want to interject something right here. Is that I want you to, I really want to seriously invite you to email us. It's all one word, lowercase letters, no capitals, no spaces in between. theabidingpresence@gmail.com. If even one of you, if you don't want your name mentioned, say, don't say who I am. And we won't. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But if you have a question, if you just say, "Can you explain this? I'm stuck." I don't want anybody to be stuck. I don't want you to feel like you don't have an opportunity to have a connection with Jim or Shelley, to engage us, to ask a question, to have something clarified. and also to let you know that we are here. This is your show. We're here for you. This is not a money-making show. There's no commercials. But by the way, if there's an executive from Frito-Lay, you know, you can reach me at area code. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, the point being is that I don't want you to feel like you're just stuck in your house at a machine, looking at a computer screen, listen to three people that make you feel like we're different than you, because we're not.
Mm-mm.
That you get the impression that we have something so special that it is completely out of reach for you, because I'm here to tell you, you're wrong.
It's true.
Our greatest testimony is not the healings. The greatest testimony that Jim and Shelley and myself have, our greatest testimony is our effectiveness to pass along the message of God's love, and that how it is completely available to anyone, anytime, anywhere. I think that needed to be said.
Yeah.
And to get some emails. Now, you look like you've been messing around with your machine. Did you? You know, what you just read, there's another book that
Would
says...
Would you like me to read that out of the other one?
Well, what is that?
It's
what do you
really
call
good,
that book?
The Message Bible.
It's not the BJ Bible. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Somebody wanted to know if they could buy a BJ Bible.
They did not.
They did. Yeah, there is no such thing,
oh
but you know.
Gosh, what are we coming to?
I don't know. That okay. Folks, that the BJ Bible means that Revelations starts tomorrow about 7:45.
Hold on to your hats, everybody.
When pigs
We're going for a ride.
When pigs fly, when they got snow cones in hell, that's when the BJ
there
Bible
We're still on the commercial break.
Is in the bookstores near you. Okay,
now, I got it.
Okay, great.
Message Bible, same passage, Romans 1:20. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes, as such, can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. Boy, that's good,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Good. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. So God said, in effect, if that's what you want, that's what you get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, smeared with filth, filthy inside and out. And all this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they had made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. Worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Verse 28, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing, grasping, vicious, backstabbing. And they made life hell on earth with their envy, wanton killing, bickering, and cheating. Look at them. Mean-spirited. And then I'll go to the end there where it says, and it's not as if they didn't know better. They know perfectly well. They're spitting in God's face. They don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best.
See, I think something, I want you to back up, and I'm going to give you a second to find it. And it's about two or three sentences, and it's towards the end, Jim, where it says God left him alone. He didn't chase him.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to pick that out for a second is I want to give people some food for thought, some different perspectives than what they're accustomed to with these people that are asking for $10 prayer donations and buy oven mitts and, you know,
support the
building.
We haven't mentioned oven mitts thing.
No, because I'm going to bake cookies after you guys are gone tonight.
Oh, okay.
Even Jim's wife loves my cookies.
It's true. He is the best cookie maker, got to say.
There you go, folks. See, it isn't just about horses and tractors. It's about cookies.
Lord
help us. But here's what I want to pick out about that, folks, is because so many times in your life, through books, songs, movies, religious organizations, and buildings, structures, places you go to worship, they give you the impression that there is some type of an eagerness, some type of an aggressiveness on Christ's part to keep you in line, to make you choose and be accountable. And it is just the opposite. I'm going to bring some of those up, but I want Jim, because Jim has the best one of all here, because it isn't like that. It goes to this very simple thing that is very profound, that you really have to understand is the cornerstone of your relationship with God. And it is that you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice, and it's yours to make. Whether you choose it or not, well, it can be bad and it can be good, but it's nobody's business but your own. And no one has control of it except you. And it's called God's endless love for you. It's that free choice, Jim. And say where he says, I'm not going to dog you. I'm not going to chase you.
Right. And I'm going to read this in just a second. Can I ask you, BJ, when you comment on this, can you also fit in there the part that we talked about last night where it has to be paper thin,
decisions.
Because
like the sewing thread to rope.
Right, because negative energy has been done away with. It has no power, so it has to be small, little, simple things that we do.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, so here's what it says. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 in the Message Bible says, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God. Now, that's our show for the last year, acknowledging grace.
That's Christianity.
It is. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah. See what that says, folks? It literally is like what I said. You're no good to heaven. You're no good to hell.
Yeah, that's a good definition.
You're not doing anything at all. And by the way, it's literally up to you. Because whether you end up in heaven or you end up in hell, nobody gets blamed. Nobody gets a blue ribbon for it. Only you. Mm-hmm. Now, what Jim was just referring to, and Shelley, I think that this, I think when we talked about, when I brought this up last night, you were really writing a bunch.
It was good.
You got to talk into the microphone. You got a radio show on Thursday. Come on.
It was good. I was writing some more, so that's why my face was away
from
the mic.
I'm jumping on her now because I'm going to be producing and directing a radio show. So I'm schooling a little bit. But after I say this, I want you to let us know how this affects you and what you got out of this. This is what I was saying, and because this goes to drama, this goes to issues, this goes to the world in general. Just for no other way to put it, just screwing with your life, is since there is nobody's power but your own to choose, that whatever is in your way may seem like the Great Wall of China. It might seem like somebody has filled the Grand Canyon up full of dirt and they've given you a shovel and they say, I need this dug out by Tuesday. Well, it isn't a wall. It isn't even a rock. It's as thin as paper. It is so thin that even though you think it's as thick as a business card, it isn't. It's actually as thin and pliable and breakable as toilet paper. Because all you have to do is have a simple thought that possibly, I want to choose God. Now, the world loves to convince you and to play with your heart and your mind and say, you know what? This isn't toilet paper. This is a brick wall. The other thing that the world is wonderful about is taking small pieces of sewing thread that are not connected, mean nothing, are temporary, are of no consequence, and the world loves to take these little tiny slivers of sewing thread that you don't even see. They're on the floor. You walk on them. The breeze of you walking by shuffles them around. You don't even know they're there, and you can vacuum it up at any time. And the world convinces you that it isn't little pieces of sewing thread. It's rope as thick as your couch, your sofa. You can't carry it. You can't climb it. And when you move, this giant rope is just bearing down on you. Because if you don't see rope and all you identify with are small slivers of sewing thread, if you don't see some type of giant head mind game drama worldly issue that's like a giant brick wall that you can't crash or climb, and you just see it as one single little square of one ply truck stop bathroom toilet paper, then you literally can choose to ignore it. You literally eliminate it because it doesn't make any sense that one little square of one ply truck stop toilet paper means anything to you, has any power. Neither does a small little piece of sewing thread. Now, did I do okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's a little different than what I said to you guys last night at the ranch. But Shelley, you made a lot of notes about this last night.
I did. It helped me a lot.
And the last 3 or 4 weeks, your relationship with God has been turbocharged.
It has.
I mean, those are my words, but you've called me on the phone several mm-hmm. times and said, I just got to tell you what's happened since I've been spending time at the ranch.
Yeah.
And even with last night, you said, mm-hmm. I've never heard you talk like this before mm-hmm. because it was actually she's the first. Mm-hmm. And all the times that Jim and I have talked privately at the ranch, Shelley is the first person that has ever, been here
right.
to participate.
Right.
Now, what Jim has been reading and saying, and what I just use as metaphors and analogy, what's this mean to you? Because you are literally seeing tangible evidence of grace and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Christ in your life and your ministry. So yes. Just take it
it's
away.
It's true. You know, in what you said earlier concerning the emails and trying to encourage people to write in, I don't think he can say that strong enough. And where he was saying, you know, we don't want you to feel funny. We're here for you. And really, we're here just as you. I'm here. And this, I'm not here because I know everything and have everything perfect and have learned everything, but I'm here because I'm learning it, and it's so good. I just have to share it, and I want to help you understand it. So don't be afraid to email with your, there's no stupid questions. That's what I've learned, and that's what's helped me learn. But last night when he was sharing this, he started out in all the things he was just saying. He specifically said last night, he said, nothing is complicated about sin because, as you said, heard him say many times, sin is not an issue. Why? Because all of your sins are forgiven. And the one thing that's helped me, and a couple of phrases that I want to share with you, because these phrases have totally helped tweak the way I think about things, help me see things differently, which has helped me walk differently and experience grace on just an insane level that has been tremendous for myself and my family and ministry. But when BJ's saying, you know, sin is not an issue, when he's talking about it's not a rope, it's, you maybe think it's a rope that can trip you up, but it's really just paper thin, or it's these threads. Why is it that way? Because the truth is that all of your sins are forgiven. And I like this phrase that he says, that, you know, when he goes to say sin, sometimes he'll say, well, you know, it's sin, but it's not really sin, because all of your sins are forgiven. It's really, you just have a choice. And when you realize that it's just that simple, it's just about the choices I make. And they say this so many times, but the phrase I like is the battle, really the faith battle. When people talk about this and the challenges that you have, it's the battle is seeing what is real and what is not. And that's exactly what he was describing there. And sometimes your mind can get tripped up in all of these phrases and different things. And sometimes you just feel overwhelmed, like, oh, man, what is it? Can I do this? This is so much to remember. But really, that's all it is you approach a situation, you approach a circumstance, you have a decision to make, you have a choice to make. And really, you just look at what's real and what's not. And that's the choice, and to see what is of the spirit and what is of this world. And you really, at that point, have a choice to make, to turn your back on what's real or what you think is real, and make the right decision. And one other thing, kind of going back about, don't want to take the show backwards.
Oh, no. But she's doing great.
Something you
said. Don't worry
about
what time it is.
Earlier, about your harshness. And I think this really can help people out, because you said this one time, and I don't remember, I don't think it was on the show, it was in private, and you may have said it on the show, but earlier you were talking about, you know, people think, oh gosh, you're just so hard on people, and you just, you know, and actually, it was in private that you said this, because I remember the individual who asked you about it said, can't you just say things a little bit nicer, can't you?
It was Jim's wife.
It was, I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
No, it was Aaron, it was your wife. And Shelly, you were sitting in the big chair.
Yep, she was on the couch.
And Aaron was sitting on the couch, and I was sitting in the rocking chair.
And she wasn't being rude. It was a very valid question.
No, it really was. It was a legitimate question. Yeah.
And many people have thought, she's not saying anything that everybody that's ever talked to you probably hasn't thought.
No, even my kindergarten teacher said that, yeah.
So he's literally telling the story as he does, and you're thinking, gosh, you know, he could have been so much more gentle with that. And you explained to her, you said, you know what, and first of all, it does help people, and it helps them see very straight and very absolute. You get straight to the point, and they're then faced with a decision. And it's like, you can do this or you can do this. And it's very plain when you do it that way, which gives the person exactly what I just said, a choice. And you can choose right or wrong. Things of the spirit are things of this world. And so it helps cut right to the chase, and that's beneficial. But the one thing I took away from that, because I tend to be a little more diplomatic, and I've always prided myself in let me say this in a way that will make you feel good, and I don't want to make you feel bad, and I think that's how Christians have learned to live, and that's the way we've been taught. And so you come at it, and you just, here it is, and here it is, and here's your choices. And in some ways, like you would talk to your three-year-old, you're not trying to be their friend at that point. I'm telling her, listen, I say, you can have this or you can have this. And I just cut right to it. But for everybody else in this world, we try to, you know, make them feel good about it and make them be okay with it. But you said this, you said, you know what? And also the reason I don't do it is for myself.
Right.
Because if I, and maybe you could probably say it better than I would in repeating you, but what I took away from it was that you said you do it for yourself, because if you get down on their level and try to sympathize with them, then you're soft on what it is that they're turning attention to.
I can get sucked in.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, see, I'm very cognizant of the fact that I've only been saved for a little over a year. And I'm also cognizant of the fact that there are no ropes or are no walls. It's just mm-hmm. little pieces of toilet paper and little pieces of sewing thread. And also, a lot of it just has to do with my lifestyle, because both, I mean, the listeners of the show know, but Jim knows, and Jim knows that almost every horse I deal with is virtually a life and death situation, and that I've spent my whole life being extremely abrupt and saying, look, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do it this way, but if you want the best odds of your horse living another day and getting through this, there is no option. And when I went through Jim's school for 13 weeks, and by the way, it's an amazing experience, by the way, and it really was the greatest weight that swung the pendulum to me being saved. Is that I saw that it is these little things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, think of it this way. You know, my house is connected to an indoor riding arena and a barn. I mean, there is the only place on this ranch that doesn't have any dust is the radio station, the studio that Shelley and Jim are in right now. My house is always dusty. There's never dishes in the sink. There's never clothes. I mean, the house is tidy. But is it clean? No. Me and my dog Ranger, we walk in and out. That's connected to a barn, and there's horses, and it's a ranch. But it's not a sloppy place. But is it clean? No. But it's tidy, and it's comfortable. But would I want someone to perform open heart surgery on my kitchen table? No, because it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not pristine. It's not that sterile. Now, apply what I just said about my home being nice and tidy and no nothing on the floor. Everything's picked up. Everything's neat and clean, but yet it isn't sterile. Ladies and gentlemen, your ability to recognize grace has to be like that operating room. It has to be sterile. There's no room for a bookshelf right. with a little bit of dust on it. There isn't any room for a junk drawer in the pantry. There isn't any room to kick a pair of shoes under the bed so they don't see that things aren't quite right in the bedroom. Those are worldly compromises. Those are the little pieces of sewing thread. Those are the little pieces of toilet paper that prevent you from seeing what you've had since the day you were born. And so if you look at the harsh absoluteness of a sterile environment for surgery, think of the harsh absoluteness and the sterile, literally pure environment of grace, bam, it's there.
This week I had a chance to...
I think this is okay.
Yeah, very much so. This week I had a chance to speak to a Bible class on Monday. And I don't know, probably about 120 or 30 people there. And one of the testimonies that we heard back was an individual said, he made me feel bad.
I did?
No, me.
Oh,
when I was preaching to them. He said, he made me feel bad. And it said, he was very straightforward and it made me feel bad. Well, if you break that down, it doesn't mean that I was mean while I was saying it.
No.
It does. It just shows you the difference of someone who is experiencing life with probably without absolutes mm-hmm. and then hearing a message that is full of absolutes and directness. Look at what it does. Immediately, it opens them up to something they're not used to. And even though I may not be directing it right at her or saying something with a scowl on my face or saying something with a mean tone, mm-hmm. speaking something that has no wiggle room then comes across as what? It made me sad. It was a little bit straightforward, a little bit harsh. But my point is, and I made this point while I was there as well, look at how harsh cancer is. I mean, it's not trying to kill you just a little bit. Right. It's not going to just say, well, let me just tickle your insides. It wants to kill you. Look at the harshness of poverty, of not being able to pay bills, the harshness of having creditors call you, the harshness of this world is harsh.
Yeah.
And in order for grace to be grace, it's going to have to be 180 degrees the opposite direction from the world. There's no other way for it to be.
No, but I've seen you and I've heard you say this many times, but you haven't said it like this. You know, cancer, arthritis, hip replacement, carpal tunnel, glaucoma, loss of hearing, high blood pressure, none of those things follow you to heaven.
Right.
Because you've said, I think you say it like when you die, they're dead. They're gone.
Right, right.
But yet you continue. So if they're temporary, that shows you how untangible and how unimportant they are. Because the only thing that is not temporary, the only thing that
That's
is
right.
everlasting
That's right.
is a choice between heaven and hell, right?
Right. Right.
Shelley, you agree with that?
Absolutely.
I've got a great story that shows the harshness of this world. You'll laugh when I tell it to you. It actually comes from the book of Jonah, and Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the big fish. And you can't get any more harsh or real, quote-unquote real, than being swallowed by a huge fish and being in the belly of that fish. And look at what Jonah said here. He said, when my soul, Jonah 2, verse 7, it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Now, this is while he's in the belly of the fish. So what would you do? I mean, that's a great thought right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You're in the belly of a fish. Okay, how real is this right now? I mean, gastric juice is everywhere. Come on.
Yeah. You're a guppy.
You are a giant guppy. And I like that. And it says, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. This is the King James. And then listen to this right here. Verse 8, it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on the dry land. Now notice what Jonah did. He said, this is really, really bad, everybody. And most everybody's going to forsake God. He said, but one thing I've learned, if I'm going to give my attention to these lying vanities, he called being in the belly of the whale, with the situation that he was in, being a live guppy, he called that a lying vanity. And he said, if I give myself to it, I forsake the mercy of God. Therefore, I'm going to sacrifice praise to God. And God said, spit him up.
Yeah. That's kind of handy. Well, I like that.
I love it because it. How harsh do you need it to be?
Yeah.
So how harsh does your praise to God and your acknowledgement of grace need to be? It has to be. So much so. And that's the reason why, and I'll stop with this thought right here. You guys jump in. But Hebrews 4:12, again, we can't forget. It says the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not dull. It says it separates between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If the Bible is being preached correctly, it will bring people to a stark reality of what is and what isn't.
It's good.
Folks, I want to give you a little homework assignment now. I want you to do something. A couple of shows ago, we had you kind of stand up and then kind of squat and sit down. What I want you to do right now is, if you are right-handed, I want you to take your right hand and I want you to kind of sit on it so that you really can't move it around. I just want you to sit on your right hand. If you're left-handed, I want you to sit on your left hand. Now, right or left-handed dominance. You do things. You write your name. You'll pick something up. You'll scratch your nose. You do all kinds of things with whatever hand you're most comfortable with. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to try to just touch your shoulder, scratch your nose, run your hand through your hair, adjust your clothes with the hand that you normally don't use, because you're sitting on your right hand if you're right-handed, and you're sitting on your left hand if you're left-handed. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to switch. I want you now to sit on the opposite. If you're right-handed, sit on the left hand. If you're left-handed, sit on the right hand. Now do exactly the same things again. See how more fluid it is, how more natural it is, how much more comforting, and you really don't have to think about it. Well, you can actually kind of apply this funny little homework assignment to what you think is natural of this world, but it really isn't. It's actually confining. It's actually, you can use the word handicapped or debilitating, because as soon as you started using your right hand, if you're right-handed, as soon as you started using your left hand, if you're left-handed, notice how faster you went, how smoother it was. You weren't even really thinking about it. Some of you even had the thought of, okay, what else do you want me to do? Because you felt empowered, because now you were using what is natural, what is right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Choosing Grace. You want to know what grace is like? You want to know what it's like to use grace? You want to notice what it's like to recognize grace in the grocery store and in your life? It's using the right hand if you're right-handed. If you want to see the greatest testimony that you can give another person, it's using your left hand if you're left-handed. I just made that up.
Yeah, that's good.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I was just kind of feeling like I was in a story time right there. And I was,
you know, I was worried because I'm across the table from you guys, and Jim and Shelley are like going nuts. I thought, what kind of sign language is this?
Well, we were sitting on our hand.
That's it. We were doing what we were told.
We were doing what we were told, all those nice little things.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the email is open at theabidingpresence@gmail.com, all one word, lowercase. Jim, what I want you to do right now is it's got to be somewhere. I mean, if you need some time to hunt it down, we can take a brief moment and Shelley can talk about Thursday night, which is the 6th, which is less than 48 hours away now. I want you to find something in Scripture that deals specifically with the ability or inability for people to actually recognize that they have a choice, that it's their responsibility, it's their obligation, it's up to them, and it's literally recognizable that it is them, that it isn't like having a gun pointed at their head, or it isn't like they're being lassoed with a rope and drugged behind a tractor or something. I don't know if I'm... Do you okay. understand what I'm asking yeah. you to find?
Yep.
Now, Shelley, while Jim is hunting down... I was kind of vague with that, and I'm sorry, Jim, but you got the point, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay, while you're looking for that, and if you can, I'd like to see the mirror of that in that planar talking book, too.
Okay.
And then have you read those. Shelley, let's talk about Thursday night real quick, because I want people to know about this, because everybody knows a teenager that they would like to have a nice relationship with God, yes?
Absolutely.
So
they should.
What's going on in less than 2 days, this coming Thursday in 2 days at 8 o'clock? What are you doing?
We are, it's going to be the first show. We have a pre-show loop running right now. If you go to lovesfinalword.com, it'll help you navigate to there, and you'll be able to hear it. In fact, you can just click a button and hear it right then on the website. And it is Thursday night, this coming up, like you said, about 48 hours away. And it's at 8 o'clock. And you said the 6th just then, but I believe that's the 4th, and October the 4th, or maybe I heard you wrong.
You know what? I did misspoke. It is. It's October 4th.
The 4th.
Yeah.
Okay. So this Thursday, 48 hours, it's going to be a show kind of sharing the same things here, but geared toward some younger individuals. We say teenagers, but if you're a young adult, anybody in that age category.
Well, you're going to have some games, some contests. You're going to have Facebook, Twitter. You're going to have emails. And
yes.
You might even open up a phone line for kids to call in. And one thing that I think is really neat that I thought was a great idea for your show, Shelley, is that you have modern rock and roll and rap that is actually a message from God. It's Christian.
That's right.
It's contemporary Christian music for Christians, for kids.
Right. And you'll hear a lot of that. In fact, on all the different shows, we're going to be having some guests, some Christian artists, not just in the mainstream that you hear on the radio station play, but people who really have a relationship with God. Not that those individuals don't.
Right.
I know a lot of them. I don't know a lot of them. But the ones that we do know that are contending for these things, we're going to have them come on here on the show and share some things. And we've got, like you said, the games. We've got a special guest this week.
Yeah, I wanted you to elaborate, because you do have a real good guest coming in, don't you?
Right. And he's already in. He flew in today. Thank you.
Flew in from where?
From Florida. He's from High Springs, Florida. He's an associate youth pastor out there. His name is Steve Morgan. He's been a friend of mine for quite a long time. I actually grew up right down the street from him in Live Oak, Florida. And so he came in. You know, he's been just as all of us, some of our listeners out there, and certainly myself included, been trying to grab hold and have an understanding of what we've been talking about. And I spoke with him today. He said, you know what, Shelley, the truth is since I've gotten hold of this message, I have not been sick in an entire year.
Yeah, he actually, Jim called me one day and he said, there's somebody I know that's in Florida, mm-hmm. and he's part of a group down there, and he's the kids' youth minister, mm-hmm. and he'd like to talk to you. And so kind of a last minute thing, I went over to Jim's house, you know, and of course Jim said, you know, are your boots clean? He always says that before he lets me in his house. And I talked to Steve for about 2 hours, and if I remember right, Jim, didn't you get a text or an email the next day that said that after talking to me and you in his house, that he saw instant results with his ministry in Florida?
Yeah, it was like the following Sunday he preached that night and had all kinds of instant results.
Now, it's called Love's, L-O-V-E-S, Love's Final Word. Mm-hmm. It's this Thursday, two nights away at 8 o'clock Central Time. And it's a one-hour show.
Correct.
And like Jim's show, it's after the live show, I'll load it up, and it's going to stream 24/7 until the next Thursday night. So if somebody has a nephew or a niece or a cousin, a grandchild, a neighbor, a son or a daughter, or someone they work with that they just wish that maybe they think of it this way. You know, sometimes it's hard to pass information along to your kids. I do this all the time with people and their horses. They call me up and they say, BJ, my son or daughter is not going to let me give them riding lessons. They're not going to allow me to show them how to ride a horse. Will you come over to our place and work with my kids and their horses? Because sometimes, since it isn't apparent, it's an easier thing. And you're using that as part of the formula for the success of Love's Final Word, right?
That's correct. And, you know, we're really wanting them to feel like it's a fun experience.
Oh, yeah.
For them, and it will be. And in the midst of all of that music and games and fun and contest, they're going to be getting exactly the message that you're hearing here.
It has to be, it can't be as serious, and it can't mm-hmm. be as well. I mean, there's a lot of times the Jim show isn't serious, and that the blame is mine. But yeah, I think this is going to be good, and I'm really thankful that you let me be a part of it. It's here at the ranch. You're going to be in that same chair.
Yep.
And Jim, did you find what I wanted?
Sure.
Okay. Let me tell him this one thing. You can go ahead, and if you're a young person listening, because I know that there are some young people that do listen to this, you can go ahead and go on Facebook and Twitter, and it's Love's Final Word. And if you have some friends, let them know that. You can post the show on there, and that's how probably most of you will be sitting in some questions. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and log on that and find out where it is.
This just came in 2 minutes ago. Is Steve's last name Morgan?
That is it. That's him.
Okay, well, he just sent an email. It says, once we realize that symptoms, bills, drama, stress are just advertisements to choose something other than reality, it's like an annoying solicitor on the phone offering something you are not interested in. The only effort it takes in saying I'm not interested, I'll choose reality or grace instead, really enjoying tonight's show. Steve Morgan from Florida, but in Tulsa.
That's good. You know, from...
Oh, and it says, could you bring Fritos and French onion dip home once you leave
the ranch? I'll bring that home. Add chocolate chips to that list.
Okay.
I know Jim is getting ready to.
Well, it sounds
to share
like we're
that
really answering the question of the health food, aren't
That's
we?
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately, the Abiding Presence is not supported by the American Heart Association. I mean, let's just be honest about it.
I just got to thinking of the lady that wrote that. You know, yeah. if she's listening.
But see,
like,
but Jim, read what you found.
Okay.
Then. Let's get this going.
Two things. One, I'll read first. The second one that I read, then I'll actually read the Message Bible too. First one is this: Let's see. It's over in Joshua 24 and 15. It says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And down it goes to say, "The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." And at the end there in verse 19, it says, or verse 18, "We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Okay, one more I want to give you, and then I'm going to give you the Amplified in this one here. And this is found over in Deuteronomy, and it's in verse 19. Let's see. It says, let's pulling it up right here. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice." The part that I actually like about that, I'm going to read the message here in just a second. The part that I like about that is, if you look at that realistically, you can see there's only one that has a choice. Blessings, cursings, life, and death have no choice. It's only you. It's only in the individual, which is really good. In the Message Bible, it reads this way, and this comes from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live." Actually, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But nonetheless,
it's about choice.
It's all about
free
choice.
Free will choice.
Yes.
It literally says, it sounds kind of cavalierish and kind of rude, but it really says, I really don't care. Just for goodness sakes, choose something.
Yeah,
pick a side. Progress.
Yeah, I like what Jesus said to his disciples over in John 15, where he was trying to get them to be committed and to be consecrated to him. He said this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." And Jesus there, he's showing them. He said, listen, I made a choice.
Right.
Now the rest of it, it's on you.
And see now we they're hand in hand, because he's saying, look, I chose and bearing fruit is what?
Yes.
Development.
Right.
Progress.
Yes.
So now he's saying, look, I chose and I've got progress. I'm bearing fruit. Now that's the example for you to choose and for you to bear fruit, for you to have progress. See, folks, we're right back. It sounds like we cover so much, and it sounds like this can get really complex and almost overwhelm you. But when you think about it, every show we come back to literally just a few finger points of what you need to do. Turn your back on the world. Turn your heart and open your mind towards Christ, and not try to do God's job for them.
Now, interestingly, BJ, the overwhelming consensus of people that actually talk to me about what's going on with the show, all are beginning, some slower, some faster, some real fast, and some real slow. And it's very interesting. Of course, we don't need to get into this, but it's very interesting, the ones that go fast, the ones that go slow. It's not who you think. The ones that actually been around Bible teaching for a long time are the ones that are struggling the most.
Right.
The ones that have not actually go the fastest. But here's overwhelming consensus is this. I'm beginning to use it. I'm beginning to see it. I'm beginning to experience it.
Yeah.
I started asking people, all right, tell me the difference of what you're hearing with the message of grace that most people are preaching today and what you're hearing us preach on the show. And this is what they're saying. Well, the message of grace that most people are preaching is more theology. It's more doctrine.
Yeah.
Doctrine.
Yeah.
But what you guys are preaching actually is about application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we're beginning to experience it.
Yeah. It's like somebody is telling you how a microwave is made, how great it is to have a microwave, how much a microwave oven costs, and the different type of microwaves. It can be on a countertop, or it can be mounted underneath above the counter, and they're telling you about all these microwaves so that it sounds really nice and special, and that you think that it would be real great to have a microwave oven. Well, that's religion. Well, Jim's show and having a relationship with God is knowing that you can cook bacon. You can cook popcorn. I mean, if you really want to, you can put wet socks in there and you can dry socks in a microwave. That you can do all kinds of things with the power. If it fit, my motto is, if it fits in the door of a microwave and it isn't made out of metal, I'm willing to push the start button. What is that? It's an open-mindedness. It's a creativity. It's about a small child's wonderment of can I do this with no limitations, with no rules, no limits, no boundaries. Doesn't that sound like God's love? And if you look at yourself that way, stop looking at your age. Stop standing on that stupid bathroom scale and stop turning the volume up on those ridiculous ads for pills on TV.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to the drugstore and you're buying a bottle of these tiny little 25 milligram aspirin tablets, because if you take a little aspirin pill every day, it's supposed to ward off heart attacks and strokes, and you really think that you're going to have a really super easy time of finding grace, I'm really sorry. You're sadly mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trying to do the job of grace.
I'm going to read something, and then it'll actually allow me to also give a prayer, okay? This is over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and it starts right here in verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, or to give us the knowledge of grace in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice the contradiction in this verse. The God of this age, negative energy, he's the one that it says right here, the God of this age would blind the minds or veil the minds of people unless you would see. And this is really what we've been talking about tonight. The difference of seeing that which is veiled, things that are of this world that you can make choices about, or beginning to see that you are a spiritual being, and God's grace and his glory through Christ Jesus is available for you 24 hours a day.
Now, what reading is that from?
That's just the King James.
And what was that again, so someone has a chance to write that down?
That's 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, verse 2 through 5.
Okay. Does it bear any merit to read it in that other one, or are you pretty comfortable with that?
Yeah, this is good. It says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. That's real good.
Yeah, I like that.
Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable god of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and that they won't have to bother believing a truth they can't see. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get.
You know, I like that. And I want to say something that I've never, ever said on the history of this show. Well, I want to make a suggestion about your prayer.
Yes.
You got a problem with that?
Why would I? No.
Well, I don't know. A little late now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was trying to be polite, and boy, you saw how that works. See, folks, the wheels come off the wagon if I try to be a good guy. I think that the show that we've had the last couple of weeks, and with Shelley being here, and that the meetings that you and I have had at the ranch, and especially tonight's show, mm-hmm. and the way the show started off with those two emails, I think if you could conjure up, that's a funny word, but
yeah, it is.
Yeah, if you could stir up, conjure up, you know, whatever, mix up, because I'm going to make cookies when we're off the air. If you could mix up a prayer to give people some peace of mind and a set direction to realize that they have choices.
Yes.
You know, pray about choices and choosing. Is that possible?
Yeah, I've got you right here.
Okay, why don't you ready, set, go.
Well, Father, tonight I thank you for what you've been saying through all of us. You've been trying to get a message across, and I know that you're doing it by the grace of God. So, Father, I ask you to open the minds of these people tonight, that every single one of them will be filled with grace and peace. And even as the Word declares, that they'll be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, they'll let their requests be made known unto you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it's at this point that we can make the choice to think on things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely and of good report. And if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, Lord, we're going to think on these things. The choices we make, I thank you, Lord, they're met by God's grace, God's ability. And I thank you that there's a finished work of Christ that always gives us hope, answers, and change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I thought that was good. Shelley, did you like that?
That was good.
I like it. Don't take that microphone away from your face. I wanted you to, folks, I want you to think about possibly listening to the show more than once. I know a lot of you do. And for Jim, I want to say hello and thank you to all of the people who listen to the broadcast other than
yes.
on a Tuesday night. And I want to warn you, there's a time change coming in the United States of America, and it'll be the first Sunday of November that we'll be starting at an hour earlier. It'll still be 8 o'clock, but for some of you, it will be 7 o'clock. And Shelley's show for younger Christians with her guest, Steve Morgan from Florida, is going to be in 2 days, this Thursday, the 4th, at 8 o'clock. Are you getting ready for it?
We're ready.
I know we've loaded up about 30, 40 songs.
And DJ's been hard at work.
Well, not really. Grace has. Well, folks, I think it's time to wish you all a good evening. I know that, Jim, you feel pretty comfortable about tonight's broadcast?
I really feel comfortable about the last two together. And that's speaking of the day when we're able to actually
archive
these.
I was going to bring that up. Folks, we are going to have all of Jim's shows from number one until tonight. We're working on it, and we're going to get those on the website, so don't feel remiss. You're going to have a wonderful archive that'll be free that you can listen to 24 hours a day. And I got a special message for Jim's mom. Ranger, say hi to Jim's mom. Jim's mom likes Ranger barking on the show. Folks, take care of yourselves and take care of your pets. And remember, it might not be such a bad thing to choose Christ. We'll see you here next Tuesday night for Shelley Love. Good night.